Well, amen. What a tremendous blessing it's already been just being in the house of the Lord today. I trust that you can sense the presence of the Lord in this place. If you have your Bibles this morning, if you'd look with me to the book of Proverbs in chapter 15 this morning. For some time now, a couple months at least, maybe three, we've been in a series in the book of Proverbs on Sunday morning. And the reason is I think there's ever been a time in America that we need Bible knowledge, wisdom, and common sense, and like we need it today. And it seems like we have lost sight as a nation of Bible knowledge and wisdom, and if you will, just plain old common sense. So the wisdom, a series in the book of Proverbs, it's a book of wisdom. Last week we studied and preached on there's a need for wisdom to keep from becoming fools. And the Bible reveals much about that in the scriptures in the book of Proverbs here. This morning we'll be looking here in the book of Proverbs chapter 15, so go ahead and stand with me. And after the first nine chapters, most of the book of Proverbs are antithetical statements, and each verse will stand alone for the most part, but then there are some where there are a clump of verses that are focused on the very same topic or issue. And this morning, I believe the first four verses deal with what we're going to be preaching on this morning. So Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you this morning, what a blessing it has already been just being assembled together in thy name, sensing your presence in this place, being ministered to through music. But now, Father, we've opened up your holy word, and we've read this passage of scripture, and God, you know exactly how you would have it applied to each and every one of our hearts and our minds. I pray, God, this morning that you would empower the preaching of thy word, that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. This morning I'm going to preach a message on the need for wisdom to govern our speech. It's throughout the scriptures, but especially here in the book of Proverbs. There's many proverbs that deal with the idea of our speech. Here we find these four verses just right together here. It talks about grievous words. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger, words that cause grief. In verse 2, it says, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, how you speak with the knowledge you have, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. God's aware of the evil and the good that comes from our speech. And then verse 4, it says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. That word breach is to crush or destruction of our spirit. As we study the Bible, we know that God designed man, God created us in the image and likeness of God, and so he designed man to communicate with words. And back over in the book of Genesis, let me just read this to you. In Genesis in chapter 2, we find in verse 15, Genesis in chapter 2 and verse 15, and the Lord God took the man after creating him and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, so he communicated commands to the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. So God communicated with man and designed man to communicate with him through words. Matter of fact, over in chapter 2 and verse 19, I like this. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field, animal life, and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. So much we can learn from the beginning in the book of Genesis, which is the beginning of all things. And I think we need to make sure that we understand what God has given to us concerning the creation of all things, and especially man, and the idea there that he designed man to communicate with words is very evident in the book of Genesis. So with that knowledge, how we communicate with words can be used by God for good, or I guarantee you it will be used by the devil for evil. Words can affect our spirits inside of us, our being, our person. They're that powerful. It's a breach in the spirit of man. Using the wrong words, communicating wrongly. In Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 1, it says, it's grievous. Words that cause grief and stir up anger. And the words we use can do just that. There again in Proverbs in chapter 15 and verse 23, there's many verses here in chapter 15 that address this idea of governing our speech. But in chapter 15 and verse 23, it says, a man hath joy. Joy of our spirit, joy of our heart. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth. How we use words and how we communicate can bring joy. Not only can it crush or destroy or breach the spirit, but it also, if you're using appropriate words and communicating as God would have us to, it can bring joy. Man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, the Bible says, how good is it? Wow. When the right words are used, God is glorified. And God's desire, according to the Bible, especially in the book of Proverbs here, is that words are to be used for good. And God beholds, he sees it, whether it's good or evil. So it helps us to understand that Satan very much would desire to use words for evil. In Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 22, the Bible says here, lying lips are abomination, because it's not of God. Satan always works through lies and deceit. God works through truth and honesty. Many times somebody uses communication with lies or deceit, then the Bible says here, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. But they that deal truly are his delight. Wow. That's powerful right there. Just understand. It can be an abomination by how I actually use words and how I communicate. Or again, it can be blessed by God. Chapter 15 and verse 28, the Bible says in verse 28, the heart of the righteous studieth to answer, making sure that I'm going to use the right words, that I'm going to communicate the right way. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked, many times I don't even realize it, poureth out evil things. I can think of Job going through some of the most difficult things that any human being has ever gone through. God had purpose for that. And Job would not say anything inappropriately. But then the Bible records that his wife said to Job, curse God and die. Wow. Can I tell you, that's just not sympathy, that is of the devil using her words to hinder Job's peace. And the devil would have loved to have seen Job curse God and die. Praise the Lord that Job did not listen to those words, but blocked those words out and focused on his communication with God. I'd like to just ask you this morning to think about it. How many relationships have been destroyed because of the use of wrong words? Or communicating in a way that's not pleasing to God, but in a way that Satan would love to get the victory. How many marital relationships maybe could have been salvaged or could be a lot better if you would just use the appropriate language? I wonder how many relationships between children, teenagers, and parents could be affected and could be helped if they would just learn how to communicate with the right words. Communication is using words. I wonder how many relationships in church could be helped and could be used to be an encouragement if we would just understand how to communicate in a way that pleases God. Because it is. God designed it. God designed the way that we communicate with him and with others. I even think about work. I mean, in society, how many relationships could be better at work with our coworkers if we would just look to God to respond appropriately? I think it affects every area of our lives. And God has much to say about it. We've already studied quite a bit just reading the verses that we have read. God has much to say about it. Can I tell you, it's never right to use inappropriate language. And yet vulgarity and using God's name in vain, it is of the devil. And it will continue to get increasingly worse as we get closer to the end of times. Today, it's so much worse than in any other time in my life that I can remember. The vulgarity of children. And realizing that this is going to affect their spirit. That's what the Bible says. A breach in the spirit of man. To hear inappropriate language, to hear vulgarity affects the spirit of a child, of a teenager, of an adult. That's why we find over in the book of Exodus in chapter 20, let me just read this to you, because Exodus chapter 20, you have God establishing the law for the children of God to live from, and in that he gives a Ten Commandments, which Jesus again presents that, and in the New Testament he says, now these Ten Commandments can be brought down into two commandments. First of all, love God with your whole being. Can I tell you that it does something to my spirit every time that I tell God I love him? And every time I think about the love of God to me, I think of Jesus Christ and understanding that he showed his love for me by sending his only begotten son to the cross of Calvary to pay a sin debt that I owed and couldn't pay. And when I think about that, it just, Jesus Christ, his life speaks, I love you to me. And to know that it's God communicating his love to me does something for my spirit. And every time that I pray, and I usually start off my prayer by telling God that I love you and I worship you, and I praise you for just simply being who you are. You're Almighty God, creator of all things, my Heavenly Father. You're God the Son, my Savior, my Redeemer, my Lord Jesus. You're my comforter, he that dwells within me. You're the Holy Spirit of God. And I love you, and I praise you, and I worship you. God, that does something for my spirit. And it will do something because communication affects us. Words affect us. In Exodus in chapter 20, and verse 7, which is the third of the Ten Commandments as listed by God. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless. Because you don't realize what kind of damage it does to your spirit and to the spirit of those that are listening. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Can I tell you that not only does God know the damage of inappropriate language, but Satan knows the damage it does as well. Just listening to the communication of man today should help all of us understand and see that there is a devil, there is an evil spirit in the world today. People use God's name in vain, and they use the name of Jesus Christ in vain, and they don't even realize what they're doing. But I guarantee you the devil knows why he's leading them to use that kind of language, because he would love to have you curse God. And that's exactly what you're doing when you're using God's name in vain. There's been a time in the United States where you couldn't do that, especially publicly, and you couldn't do it. Anything that was put on television, they had to make sure that the language was correct and appropriate language. That has gone by the wayside. Children are not being taught not to use the name of God in vain. Children are not being taught that vulgarity has no place in society. Used to be that Even those that used it would not use it around women and children. That's because of the influence of Christianity. And you're seeing that dissipate. Yeah. I wonder if we could just clean up the language in society, how much better society would be. We need wisdom to communicate as God would have us to. Yeah. So, the first thing I want to address, I mean, that's the foundation. I trust that we all understand this now. We see the need for this. So, know that Satan would have us to use inappropriate words for evil purposes when speaking to others. In Proverbs chapter 12, again in verse 18, Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 18, there is that speaketh like the piercing of a sword. There is that speaketh like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. It can be used for health, for good, or it can be used like the piercing of a sword. When speaking to others, if it's not appropriate language, if it's not appropriate communications, it's like thrusting a knife into a person's heart or gut. That's what it's talking about here. There is that speaketh like the piercing of a sword. Words, communication, can be used to stick a knife into people. It's not healthy. No good can come out of what is communicated, then why communicate it? Inappropriate language, because sometimes I have to stop and think. If I'm speaking to somebody and what I'm about to say cannot be used for good, then, especially as a born-again believer, don't allow the devil to use that communication to hinder. We need to think through just how we communicate one with another. We're communicating with our spouse all the time. We're communicating with our children in the home all the time. 8 hours a day at work, or if not more, you're communicating with your coworkers, and on and on and on. Life is all about communication, and communication has been designed by God to use words. And there's appropriate and there's inappropriate words that we use. When speaking to others, never appropriate to use inappropriate language. But not only as we speak to individuals, but when speaking about others. The Bible has much to say about that, because that's something that we do. Not only do we speak to one another, but sometimes as we carry on a conversation, other people's names come up within the conversations that we have. And you know how you communicate about others. In Proverbs chapter 15, again in verse 2, it says here, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge. It's the knowledge that you have about others. It's the knowledge you have about whatever's going on. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright. But the mouth of fools poureth out foolishly. Foolishness. If it's not helpful or needful for others to know, you have the knowledge about somebody else, but do you really have to tell people? Why? Why tell somebody something about somebody else when it's not helpful and when it's not needed for them to know? Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 28, again, the Bible talks about this. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 28, a froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth the chief prince. Busybody, it's somebody talking about some things that don't need to be talked about. And through doing those types of things, a froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief prince. You're going to cause more damage by inappropriately speaking about other people. Chapter 18, the Bible's filled with warnings and help concerning this communication. In Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 8, the words of a talebearer are as wounds. You realize you're hurting others. And they go down into the uttermost parts of the belly. It hurts. Hurts a person's testimony. Hurts a person's ability to possibly be a friend or to be a help or to have a relationship with an individual. Wow. All because of inappropriate words when communicating. Proverbs chapter 26. Proverbs chapter 26. It's throughout the book of Proverbs. God has much to say about our communications. In Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 20, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. I think we understand that. If you're camping out and you got a fire going, you got to just keep the wood going on the fire because it's going to burn out if you don't continue to add wood. God uses that illustration when he says, so where there is no talebearer, the strife ceases. Are we guilty of that? Wow. The Bible has warnings about it. We need wisdom to govern our speech. Know that God would have us to use appropriate words for good purposes. In Proverbs chapter 15, go back there with me again, our text. Everybody following me this morning? Amen. Amen. It's things we need to be thinking about. Amen. Because it affects our life. This is what life is all about, relationships. And the devil wants to use our words and our communication to destroy and for evil. And God says, no, I've designed you to communicate, but the way I've designed you to communicate is for good. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 4 again, a wholesome tongue. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. A tree of life. It's going to help life. Making sure that we have appropriate language. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. And then verse 15, chapter 15, verse 23. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth in a word. Just a word spoken in due season. How good is it? Do you realize how good the right word at the right time can be used of God when speaking to others? When I'm speaking to others, I need to understand my words can be very powerful, and they can be used by the Creator God to help, to be a blessing. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 25. Heaviness in the heart of a man maketh it stoop. You ever been there? Just heavy. Tell you what, I mean, we deal with so many things in society today, in the world today. I'm experiencing more people being more discouraged today than as far as I can remember back. There's more fear. More people are experiencing the death of loved ones. Everything going on. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop. Look what God says here. But a good word maketh it glad. Just a good word. People need to hear a good word. A good word can be used of God. It can be powerful. It can be an encouragement. It can be a help. It can make the difference between somebody wanting to live and somebody wanting to die. The good word. And we all have the ability to say a good word. Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 9. Ointment and perfume rejoices the heart. Now, some can rejoice more with ointment and perfume than others. Amen. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. The right words at the right time can make a difference. See, as a born-again believer, I must be aware of and want to know what God wants to say to others through me. As a pastor, that's my life. I mean, all week long I'm preparing messages and wanting to know what God has to say to others through me. But that's just not for pastors. That's something that I do on a regular basis. But every born-again believer is an ambassador for Christ. Every born-again believer has what the world needs, and they don't even realize they need it. But you need to know that if you have the words of God, you have what the world needs. If you have the words of God, whatever, wherever God leads you, whatever experience God puts you in, whatever's happening with those around you, can I tell you that we need to be thinking, God, what do you want to say to this person through me? You brought me here. You've made me aware of what's going on. And they're there. I can speak to them. I can be used of God to be a help to them. I need to be aware of the power that's found in my words. In every situation of life, we all find ourselves in situations where we're around needy people. But are we using the appropriate words? Are we understanding that God would have us to communicate His message to people? When speaking to others, I must know what God would have what God would want to say through me. Ephesians in chapter 4. I'm almost done here. Ephesians in chapter 4. This is something that affects all of our lives. Verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Do you understand when you use vulgarity, that's corrupt communication? You understand when you use God's name in vain, can I tell you, that is corrupt communication. When you try to manipulate through words and you try to use deceit through word, whatever, that's corrupt communication. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. That's what's throughout the book of Proverbs. That's what the book of Proverbs reveals as the wisdom that we need to use. And as clearly as we can say it, we find God revealing that to us in the book of Ephesians in chapter 4. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, because many times we respond with words because of these things, bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. If we would only do that. Make a difference. Not only when speaking to others, but when speaking about others. We use what knowledge we have about others only to be spoken of when it can edify. If what you're going to say about somebody else cannot be used to edify, you don't have to say it. Chapter 25 in Proverbs, we're done with this. Proverbs chapter 25. So much in the book of Proverbs concerning this. But Proverbs chapter 25, verse 9 to, down to 11. Debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself, and discover not a secret to another. Instead of speaking foolishly, go find out. Lest he that heareth it put thee to shame, and thine infamy turn not away, be known as a talebearer. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. You say, preacher, what does that mean? Can I tell you what we need to know about what that means? It's very precious. A word fitly spoken can make a difference in your heart, in your spirit, and in others' hearts and others' spirits. Are we using wisdom to govern our words as we communicate to and about others? Can I tell you, if you are, it's because you have humbled yourself before God and you've disciplined your tongue so that it pleases only God. When you do that, what a difference it will make in all relationships of life. If I could have your head bowed this morning. something as simple as controlling our tongues. Wisdom to govern our communications. Are you crying out to God? If you're not, you need to be. Because we all need to govern, to discipline our tongues. Father, we bow before you this morning. We thank you, Lord God, for the book of Proverbs and through the Bible, and God, what wisdom you give to us concerning our relationships of life and how they are impacted by our communications, our world itself impacted by how we communicate. God, help us. Give us wisdom to represent you in every relationship that we have in this life. Bless this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.